Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, good friends. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, and this is Blood Pressure Day. We're going to go after high blood pressure. And if you're streaming the show, if you're trying to stream the show right now, you have a perfect opportunity to lower your blood pressure because I think our streaming technology is down temporarily. It may go up. So then again, if the streaming didn't work, you wouldn't be hearing me. So in a sense, I'm talking to myself. So that just occurred to me. But for anybody that this might be relevant to, the streaming mechanism may be down right now. But if you're listening on regular radio, like the good old-fashioned days, this transmission should be crystal clear. I want to go after high blood pressure today because I can't think of an application of pharmaceutical medicine that is more a travesty and more unnecessary. Now, you never want to use absolutes when you speak, especially in public, because absolutes are just tantamount to dogma, and dogma really is not really, in the true sense of the word, relevant in any moment. But if there's one drug or one series of drugs that we in the United States use regularly that you could really go after as unnecessary, it's got to be blood pressure meds. And you know, this was first, and I've told this story before, this was first brought to me years ago in chiropractic school by a gentleman who had owned, he was teaching in chiropractic school in the last year you get pharmacology. And this was a bear of a course because the guy that taught it was not only a real chemist, but he had owned a chain of drugstores. So it was a tough course, but it was a great course because, like all great teachers, when they have experience in the real world, well, their information is really paramount. And the one thing this guy said, his first name was Ray. I hope he's still with us. Ray told us. Now, Ray had an acupuncture degree, and I'll tell you why. Ray told us that he used to own a chain of drugstores. And it was on the basis, and almost solely on the basis, of the travesty or the tragedy or the over-application, the unnecessary use of blood pressure meds, that he decided in one spine-tingling moment to sell all his drugstores, retire, get out of the business, and he went to acupuncture school. And then he made this great practice basically doing acupuncture in hospitals because he had all these connections. But the one thing he made clear to me as his student was blood pressure meds are overused. And if you're on one, sooner or later you're going to be on two. And then sooner or later you're going to be on three and four and up to five. And I see this all the time. And it starts with something as ridiculous as an elderly person coming into a doctor's office stressed out because who needs the traffic? And let's face it, you get a little bit older and your nervous system doesn't quite work as well. It's a little tougher to relax after 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years of nonstop stress. And so that little traffic jam on the way to the hospital in a rather imposing environment where we tend to feel that we're only going to get bad news, spikes their blood pressure. Of course your blood pressure is going to spike. Now, there's two numbers with the blood pressure, the top number and the bottom number, the systolic and diastolic number. And when your low number, when your diastolic number, when the one on the bottom, the one that's supposed to be about 70 or 80, goes up to 85 or 90, and when the top one that's supposed to be theoretically 120 goes up to 130 or 140, you're just stressed out. You're stressed out because life is stressful. And if you took that reading 2 hours later in the comfort of your living room, around your grandkids, your children, I mean, hopefully your blood pressure would drop. Maybe it would double. I don't know. But the point is that once you begin to relax, once you get out of that intimidating environment, your blood pressure is going to go down. And yet, I guarantee you, become that little birdie and fly into the hospital rooms across the United States every day. And what you're going to see is your doctor say, well, your blood pressure is 150 over 90 or 140 over 90. Obviously, we got to put you on meds. Meds. And this is when the problem begins. And I'm going to explain to you why. By the time the show ends today, you're going to have a great understanding of why these meds really, in the long term, mess you up more than they're going to help you. And we've got the stats to prove that. But just let's take a moment here to look at the meds, the number of meds that we have. And this employs grad students looking for jobs all over the world every single day to find new and better meds to lower blood pressure when you might just need a good night's sleep. And this is where the travesty begins. But let's take a look at some of these meds. Okay, first of all, we have diuretics. Now, the word diuretic is more or less in the vernacular of everyday life. People know diuretics are water pills. They make you urinate a lot, and when you urinate a lot, you take out of the blood vessel the water. Again, the blood vessel, blood is 99% water, and you take all that water out of the blood vessel, of course the blood pressure is going to go down. So think about that. So let's try to learn a little bit about cardiac physiology here. And that if you're inside a blood vessel, so I want you to shrink yourself down to, you know, micron size, go inside a blood vessel, go inside a water hose. A blood vessel, an artery, where you get high blood pressure, is just an elastic rubber hose. And you think of it the same way. It can stretch out like a balloon, and it can clamp down shut. And that elasticity in the blood vessel is what creates the word blood pressure. So I want you to get that visual now. You can do this. This is what's so great about radio. It forces the imagination far beyond just watching it on a screen where it's given to you, you see? Years ago, we called TV the boob tube, remember? Why? Because people used to sit around in groups and listen to people on the radio, and it would spark the imagination. That's something we're losing today. So let's celebrate the radio for this reason. So go into the theater of your mind now, and just picture the artery, which is a thick, elastic tube with blood in it. Now, in the blood is mostly water. If you're tied up on the inside of that tube, and there's a gush of blood coming, and you decrease the volume of that blood because you take out the water, you can see there's going to be less pressure. There's going to be less outward pressure on the inner wall of the artery. Now, that's pretty easy to understand. So the first thing we give you is a diuretic. And there's a number of diuretics. And we have to be careful that when we give you PP pills, we put potassium back in. I remember years ago, my grandmother, who lived to 94, I remember being a boy, like 5 years old, and my grandmother, the word was, lost her mind. Grandma, who was elderly, even when I was five, lost her mind. And I remember my grandmother starting to yell and scream hysterically on a Sunday during a family visit, and there she was, and my grandfather was beside himself, and my father, who was an engineer, is trying to figure this out because my grandmother, she had such a marvelous mind, and all of a sudden she lost it. She was out of it. And what it was is they gave her a diuretic, which is a water pill, which she didn't need anyway, but they gave it to her, and she peed out, she urinated out all her potassium. They forgot to give her potassium. And my dad, who wasn't a medic, but he was an engineer, figured out that it had to do, and again, you got to understand, these are not the days when you could just Google up side effects of blood pressure meds. This is in the 60s. You had to go to the library to get any information. But my dad figured out that she lost potassium. So if you don't get potassium with a water pill, you can run into serious problems. You can go into cardiac arrest, atrial fib. Most of all, you start to act senile. So right there, we run into problems. And I'll never forget the day my father mashing up a banana, giving it to my grandmother, and within 15 minutes, my grandmother starts to become sharp and cognizant again. Great moment. We have to use your common sense. So we have diuretics. Then we have beta blockers. Beta blockers slow down the nerve impulses to the heart and the blood vessels. So the heart beats slower. If the heart beats slower, the blood pressure is going to drop a little bit. Now, there's another concept. So concept one, we give you a diuretic. We take water out of the blood vessel, so you decrease the blood pressure. But then some smart pharmacologist figures out another angle on blood pressure. And I'm going through this as it relates to the different types of drug classes, guys, because this is the way you learn the physiology, so you can really understand where this is all going to become climax later on. About 40 minutes from now, you'll get the point. So we have beta blockers. And a beta blocker is simply going to tell the heart to slow down. So if your heart is going boom, 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 fast with power, you can see you're going to get more blood forced into the inside of the artery. And that greater volume of blood pumped with greater intensity. It's like you're at the end of the water hose and you're blowing into the hose with greater force. You can see how the volume of fluid hitting the inside of the water hose or your arterial system is going to feel more pressure. So we come in with beta blockers, and that simply attacks the nerve so the heart doesn't beat with as much power. Now that may be good in acute situations, but you'll understand the long-term effect of this. Then we get to ACE inhibitors. It's the third type of blood pressure drug. Now, an ACE inhibitor blocks the production of angiotensin II. Okay? Angiotensin II, little fun fact, is a chemical produced in the kidney. And angiotensin II produced in the kidney causes the blood vessels to constrict. It's a vasoconstrictor. It's what might be used to raise blood pressure. So we come up with different ACE inhibitors. Lisinopril is a famous ACE inhibitor. And these ACE inhibitors then will block angiotensin II, and you won't be as likely to constrict. Now, mind you, all these drugs have to be excreted from the body, and a lot of them, like lisinopril as a classic example, a lot of ACE inhibitors, which are used regularly, are not excreted through the biliary system. They don't go out through the liver. They go out through the kidney and bladder, which means what? You're going to be peeing at night. Not so much because they gave you the water pill, which a lot of times they do. They give you the water pill plus the ACE inhibitor plus the potassium to back up the water pill. Or they give you a potassium-sparing diuretic, and then you don't have to have the potassium. We play all these games. And we're forgetting the fundamentals, which I'll give you in a second. But one thing you can already see, and I hope you're ahead of me on this, is that when we give you an ACE inhibitor, and because it excretes through the kidneys, and you're up urinating, you don't get your sleep, and you don't get your sleep, you're going to be stressed the next day, and stress, as we'll explain, is going to go right into that cycle to, what, perpetuate your high blood pressure. So much for the ACE inhibitors. We do this all the time. I get the MD on the phone, and I say, well, we're on X dose. Can we at least try, doctor, half that dose? Well, why would you want to do that? Well, because some research shows, and again, this isn't really at the top of the New England Journal, but research shows that sleep...